Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW.
Welcome to this episode of Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW. My name is Nikki Shields.
And I'm Jonathan Tilley.
And on today's podcast, well, we're diving into everything that you need to know about automotive sensors.
Yes,
exactly. Something that I think gets us all rather excited because we can't really imagine life before sensors. I mean, they've only been around a few years, but wow, what a difference they really do make.
Totally.
They make our lives behind the wheel a lot simpler, don't they?
Most definitely.
I mean, I definitely don't want to remember what it was like before sensors. I mean, I think it would take me a very long time to park outside my house, which is quite a narrow road. And I'm always trying to maneuver into very tight parking spaces. So, yeah,
exactly.
Life before sensors didn't exist.
100%, right? I mean, automotive sensors, they're like our second pair of eyes when we're on the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these modern cars, they all have them, right? So we're so used to having them, which is great. But what's really cool is that they're all hidden as much as possible, which I think is kind of like super cool because it's not just a second pair of eyes, it's a second pair of secret eyes, right? And at the end of the day, their goal is to work unnoticed, making your driving experience more comfortable, even more efficient, and most definitely much more safer. And it could be from automated driving and light sensors to parking functions and even rain sensors. So here is all that you need to know about sensors for automated driving.
Yes, indeed. So you're probably asking yourself right now, well, what types of different car sensors are installed? What type of car sensor do I have on my own car? Well, actually, you might not realize just how many there are because we kind of are spoiled to the world of sensor technology at the moment because ultimately, this sensor technology measures and evaluates exactly what's happening in both the immediate but also the extended surroundings of the car and, you know, is there to detect any changes and is there ultimately to tell you exactly what you need to know to make sure you drive the best way possible. Now, of course, we already know that sensors are employed in various ways in things like emergency braking assistance. Very, very important, that one. Mm-hmm. And very useful. They're also in night vision aids, traffic sign recognition. That's always very helpful as well. And also, of course, in anti-lock braking system in ABS. And also they're included in dynamic stability control, DSC. So there's a sort of bit of an insight into some of the sensors that we use in our cars. But in addition to that, certain BMW models actually have cruise control with braking. There's also rear drive assist. There's attention assistant, or there's a system that automatically detects necessary lane changes through active navigation. So there really is a very long list of the way that we use sensors to drive. But I suppose what we're going to look at to sort of simplify things is how do we categorize all of these sensors? And well, there are basically kind of four types of automotive sensors and, you know, they kind of relate back to what their function is. And that is ultrasonic. Then there's cameras. We know what cameras do. There's automotive radar. And then there's LiDAR, which LiDAR is also known as 3D laser scanners. And we're going to kind of break down what those four types of automotive sensors do and how they work. And also, you know, what their strengths are when they're working with each other. And I think that's the most important thing, isn't it, with these sensors. They're great on their own, but they're a heck of a lot better when they're working in tandem with each other.
Exactly. It's that integrated system together with the eyes, the ears, and everything. And it's great that we're breaking all this down because when you realize like all these different four categories and how much they do and how they communicate with each other, it's just, it's amazing. It's totally amazing. All right. So let's talk about the first type, which is ultrasonic. Ultrasonic is robust. Ultrasonic is precise. Ultrasonic is basically used for parking functions, but more specifically, reversing assistance. We all know what that is, right? The beep, 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 beep.
I get into a car without the beep, beep, beep. I'm going straight into that wall.
Exactly. It also helps with parking distance control and automated parking functions. So ultrasonic really helps us with parking. Now, this technology, it gives us this precise distance measurement over a short range, right? You're not parking 500 miles down the street. You're parking in a short range. So how does this ultrasonic beeping reverse parking thing work, right? So this is what I think is so cool. Just like a bat who uses sound waves to measure its distances to something in the night, whether it be a tree or a bear or the ground or whatever, ultrasonic works by sending out pulses of sound, just like a bat, and sensing how long these take to reflect from an object. I think this is fascinating, using nature to be part of this technology called ultrasonic. And no worries. Ultrasonic has no problem operating in fog and darkness when at close range. I mean, even up to 30 feet or 10 meters, ultrasonic is always working. So no worries about that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, isn't it? Because when you are parking, I mean, you really do go as close to the car behind you or in front of you as possible, but you just rely on that ultrasonic sensor and it gets it right every single time.
Every time.
Thankfully. So up next, we discussed as one of the categories of sensors is cameras, of course. Now, we know, we see what they do. It makes it fantastic. It's sort of an in-car experience, isn't it? When you've got your screens up there, your display, you can see what the cameras are seeing. And it gives you this 360 degree approach when you're driving. And what's wonderful is these cameras have high resolution. So it's brilliant for seeing things, even in low levels of light as well. And actually, I think gives you a much better view than if you were just to use your own eyes. And then also you've got different types of cameras that are used in the vehicles at different positions. Obviously, up to now, I think the best known reason of having these cameras is to make parking easier. You've got the rear view camera, of course, so you can see exactly what's going on behind you. Although now that we've got the sensors, you know, with the ultrasonic sensor there telling you in terms of sound, you almost don't need the camera. You don't need to see what's going on behind you because you can just rely on that sound. But it's great to still have that that visual cue of what's going on as well. So again, you know, working together in tandem. The other great thing is that they can operate with a really high aperture angle. So they have the advantage of capturing a really large area. We're starting to get the capabilities on our phones, actually, where you have the kind that kind of fish eye camera lens, you know, where everything looks like a little bit like a bubble, but it just gives you the opportunity to actually see a lot more than you would if it was just a sort of a straight view. So you're working with these cameras with a high aperture angle. And then, of course, for other driving functions, you've got their ability to work with different focal lengths. So you need to be able to adapt while you're driving because, of course, everything is moving towards the car or away from the car. So the camera needs to be able to adapt to the different focal lengths. So it's got telephoto and it also has wide angle, which is really, really important when it comes to the best use of the cameras. You've also got cameras that are located behind the windshield, of course. And amongst all the different types of automotive sensors, cameras offer the advantage that they operate with a very high resolution. And also the image processing is just so accurate that it just makes it really clear and really helpful for the car and for you to differentiate between different objects. But here is a question for you. How do these cameras manage to differentiate between different objects? I.e., is it a car? Is it a truck? Is it a pedestrian? Is it a traffic sign?
Exactly.
How do they know? Well, the answer to that is AI, of course.
Yes.
Artificial intelligence, which is super, super useful. Basically, artificial intelligence and the imaging processing system is sort of taught, the car is effectively taught the different types of objects. So it knows how to recognize different types of objects. And then that is integrated into the sensor system of the car. So it's amazing. The fact that a car can tell the difference between a person and a truck and a tree is phenomenal. And, you know, again, just goes to show how useful these car sensors can be. But unlike other types of car sensors, camera sensor data can also be used to classify information such as traffic signs or the status of traffic lights. So, you know, if you're coming up to perhaps, well, either a camera or a traffic signal and you need to know what status the traffic light is, or if you want to know the speed that you're supposed to be going on the road, then obviously it can read those different traffic signs. So it's really, really useful so that you get all the information that you need while you're driving. But ultimately, I think at the end of the day, you know, the sphere of the application of the camera is so, so broad. They can be used to do things like identify the edge of the lane. They can use to be identified the support a driver assistance functions such as lane departure warning and emergency brake functions. And all of these things, you know, are reacting to the vehicles all the time when you're driving, but also not just to while you're driving. It's also reacting to pedestrians and cyclists and to what you need to know when you're parking. So really, these cameras are incredible. And I've got to say, it's still, I think, blows people's minds when they get into my BMW X5 and I park my car and you can see I've got the camera, the rear view camera, the front view camera, then I've got the 360 camera, the camera from above, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
You just have all that information there and it just makes it so much easier to drive and particularly to park. You know, for me living in London, parking in small confined spaces is something I'm very used to and I hugely, hugely rely on my cameras.
Yeah. I mean, and even we said in the beginning of the podcast, it's another set of eyes. Scratch that. It's like millions of eyes everywhere, you know.
Exactly. I need them every day.
Yeah.
I wish I had them on me. Stop me walking into things.
So this is what I just find so fascinating about this style, this category of just cameras. We think it's just one camera here. No, it's everywhere. And I don't know, that makes me feel a lot safer on the road. For the case if, you know, if you're looking at a stop sign and then somebody's coming up behind you that's in your blind spot, you know, that other sets, multiple sets of eyes help you drive better and drive much more safely.
Definitely.
All right, next up we have automotive radar. And in the one with ultrasonic that I was talking about before, it's slightly similar but has its differences. Another similarity with radar and ultrasonic is that with this one, rain is not an object. It's totally fine. Now, with radar, which is also known as radio detection and ranging, lots of people think of radar as having to do with aviation, but nothing to do with driving. Well, it couldn't be further from the truth. So this electromagnetic sensor technology, which is radar, is now also indispensable to automakers. And they've been using it for the last 20 years. Most people didn't know that. So it's used to measure speeds and distances, but at the end of the day, you're probably asking yourself, how does this radar technology work? Okay. So radio waves are emitted, which scan surrounding objects, and the echo of an object is analyzed and, if necessary, responded to. Similar to ultrasonic, like I said before, how bats use sound to measure distances, but when it comes to radar technology in cars, a distinction must also be made between two types. So type one is short-range radars. Now, these short-range radars, they work with high aperture angles and low ranges, so up to approximately 330 feet or 100 meters. And these radar sensors, they're fitted as corner radars in the ends of the bumpers, for example. These are necessary for the lane change warning, the lane change assist, and the intersection assistant, right? How very fitting that the podcast name is Changing Lanes, right? So that's the short range radars. But type two is the long range and full range radar sensors. Now, these cover longer distances up to approximately 820 feet or even 250 meters. Now, these long range radars and full range radar sensors, they provide information required by the emergency braking function and, you know, also the adaptive cruise control, ACC. Now, this technology makes precise distance measurements possible. And, you know, even when there's rain or fog, it hardly has any effect. So there's no worries there. It's also very fast in detecting a sudden braking at the front of the car. Wondering how? Well, direct measurement of the velocity, right? This is possible by the Doppler effect, right? We've heard the Doppler effect in meteorology and stuff like that. But it's the same effect when you have a different sound of an oncoming emergency vehicle in comparison to when it's moving away, right? So when it reacts to that sound that's moving in a different direction, it's coming more towards you, it reacts, which is kind of cool. Now, radar technology, it's less suitable for classifying objects, though, right? So like you were saying, Nikki, with the cameras, you can classify a stop sign, a pedestrian. Now, radar can't do all of that, so it's less suitable for classifying objects. But depending on the design, there's various limitations in the technology's assessment of whether objects can be driven under or over, okay? So this is kind of cool. So for example, with this under and over thing, imagine the system is faced with deciding if it's looking at the end of a traffic jam or an overhead sign on the highway, right? In such situations, the camera confirms whether emergency braking should be triggered or not, right? Like you were saying, Nikki, camera and all these four categories, they work not only on their own, but they work together. So radar is great for some things, not so great for others, but like we said, they all combine to make one whole system of sensors, which is really awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. And again, you know, because they're all working together, it just shows how intelligent the sensor system can now be. It's not just one type. Which kind of leads us on to our last category, which is one of the most intelligent categories, I'm going to say. Last but not least, it's LiDAR. So obviously, we've mentioned the three types of sensors so far, and they can all be found in BMW models today. But LiDAR really is the next step. It's the thing that everyone's kind of getting excited about at the moment. And what it actually stands for is light detection and ranging. So what does that actually mean? Well, basically, put very, very simply, the system sends horizontally and vertically diffracted light pulses out to its surroundings. And what that really does, it kind of scans what you see ahead and at the side. So this scanning allows distances to be measured. And then, you know, the sensor can take fixed and moving objects into account. And that's very, very exciting, because what's really cool about it is the LiDAR sensor actually makes it possible to then create a 3D map of the immediate surroundings. And that's it has this little nickname known as point cloud. So that's your sort of 3D imagery that you can see from the car. And, you know, that's what we're going to start seeing when it comes to autonomous driving, automated driving. LiDAR is a big feature of that. And I think one of the really big advantages of LiDAR, and the reason that everyone's kind of excited about it, is because it doesn't depend on the ambient light. And it doesn't actually depend on having to learn different objects in the same way that a camera system does. So instead, with LiDAR automated driving functions, that can then also respond very safely to unknown objects. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, it's all very well categorizing things. But what if something doesn't fit into a category? How do you respond to that? And it's really, really critical that a car responds in the correct way.
Within split second, you know?
Well, exactly. As you say, literally within milliseconds, isn't it? You know, if you need to, swerve, move out of the way, if you need to put on that emergency brake, or actually just carry on as normal. Because any of those, if it's done in the wrong way, has huge consequences. So the LiDAR system is just phenomenal. Also, you've got to pay attention to its active light emission, and it has a really, really good resolution as well. And what that means is that LiDAR technology enables objects to be really, really precisely classified even at night time.
Nice.
Which again, of course, that's so important because, you know, we're going to be driving at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you rely on a system in the day, you expect to then rely on that system in the evening and in darkness as well. So that's just brilliant. And the only downside is that because it's so brilliant, it is still relatively expensive. but of course, that will change over time as the volumes increase, as there's more production, the cost of that will come down, which obviously means LiDAR technology is going to be absolutely necessary if you want to be able to make the leap from the level 2 of autonomous driving, which is where the driver monitors the assistant systems, which currently quite a lot of us probably enjoy at the moment in our cars. But if you want to then jump up to level 3, where the driver is actually able to sort of hand over complete control to the car, you're going to need LiDAR technology there. So it's a really, really exciting piece of tech that's going to really push autonomous driving onto the next level. So whenever you hear the word LiDAR, get excited, because you know what it's going to mean. Hopefully it means we can do lovely long journeys, sitting back, relaxed, not having to drive at all.
Exactly. And feeling safe in that knowledge of that LiDAR is going to be taking care of our eyes and ears. It's just phenomenal how technology is evolving so fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time I do a long journey, I get excited thinking soon I won't have to really drive.
Yeah, I will
soon
be driven.
Soon the car will be able to do it for me.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so as you can see, each of these automotive sensors, they have their own strengths in their given area, but together they create this perfectly beautiful overall picture of the area around the vehicle under any and all circumstances, light, dark, rain, dry, snow, sleet, sunny, and everything in between.
Yeah, yeah, it really is pretty spectacular, isn't it? And I think, as we've mentioned a few times, it's all of these systems overlapping and all working together that actually means that you, as the driver and your passengers as well, are ensured that reliability and the availability and all the information required for a safe drive. And also, it just means that automotive sensors are just critical. They really are a huge building block on the way to highly automated driving. And eventually autonomous cars.
Exactly. And isn't that the goal? You know, all of this technology is pointing to one goal. The car of the future must get people to their destination safely and relaxed, but also autonomously. Like that's the future, isn't it?
Can't wait. Get me there now.
Who knows? Maybe in 10 years, we'll be doing our podcasts in our autonomous driving cars, just going all over the world, right? Super
that
cool.
That will be lovely.
That'll be the day.
Let's do it. Hopefully, we won't have to wait 10 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Changing Lanes.
Yes. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you subscribe to our podcast for future episodes as well.
Yes, please do. And also to dive deeper into all things BMW, just head on over to BMW.com to learn more.
I'm Jonathan Tilley.
And I'm Nikki Shields.
And this has been Changing Lanes.
See you next time.